Church family, over these next few weeks, as we begin to share the vision of the house, the theme of the house, our new missions projects around the world, just some really great things. But we do start the year off annually now with our 21-day Daniel fast. I like the way Belinda spoke about it because I don't like fasting at all, but I do love the focus. I think that's great how that our life can get focused. I'd like to talk about fasting today and just the theme of this year's fast. We've had some great themes through the years over these 21 days, so I want to talk about this. But would you reach your hand out towards me, please, and pray for me, as I just want to share so clearly today. Father, help me, I pray, and speak through me. Also speak to me, Lord. And I am asking, Lord, over these next few moments, that I could share your heart and your burden, Lord, for our city and our suburbs. And I pray that we as a church would rise up and be very, very faithful to do this fast together as best we can, as much as we could. And I just believe your grace will help us and strengthen us. And I believe this fast, Father, will set a precedent, not only for our own church and our own families, but for our entire city this year. I believe that. And I call upon you now to help me in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. So on Monday the 28th, which of course is a week from tomorrow, we are going to begin our 21-day Daniel fast. And our theme for our fast this year is our city and our suburbs. Our city and our suburbs. And we're going to take the power of unity. Unity, the power of unity is amazing. If you remember in the book of Genesis, when the Tower of Babel was being built and the people were unified. Now, they were unified together in a negative way, but even so, God came down and spoke about the power of that unity. They were all speaking the same thing, to build this tower that would reach all the way to heaven. But God said, because they're in unity and they're speaking the same thing, he said, nothing will be impossible to them. He began to show us right there in the book of Genesis the power of unity, even if it's for a wrong thing. We also read in the book of Psalms how that when we're together in unity, it's like the anointing oil, the psalmist says, that goes down the priest and Aaron's beard and his garments. And there in that unity, the Bible says God commands a blessing. And here's the blessing that he commands: life. He commands the blessing, life. And he does that through the power of unity. So we are going to take the power of unity, the power of focus. The power of focus. Now, how do we focus? What is the key to focus? Can I tell you, the key to focus is to limit distraction. I heard Bob Goff interviewed this week on Craig Rochelle's podcast. And Craig Rochelle asked Bob Goff, who's one of my favorite authors, he said, how do you stay so passionate? How do you stay so focused? How do you stay, you know, so always inspired? And Bob Goff said, I limit distractions. And what we're going to do over these next 21 days is limit distractions. And we are going to focus. And maybe there's 100 things. If you've got an iPhone, there's probably 1,000 things that can and could be distracting. There's media, there's all kinds of, but for 21 days, we're gonna limit distraction, maybe even eliminate distraction. I know for me, I'm off Facebook, I'm off Twitter, I'm off television, except for the Super Bowl. So I always ask God for grace on Super Bowl Monday, which is Sunday in America. But that's a little far away. Anyway, and I have grace for that. And if you need grace for something else, go ahead and take it. Otherwise, I feel like a great big hypocrite standing up here. But I'm going to take those 21 days, and I'm going to limit the distraction. I read somewhere this week that we look at our phones like over 100 times a day, the average person. It's ridiculous, isn't it? Just, distraction. But as we fast, we focus. And one of the best ways to really laser focus, zero in focus, is to start eliminating some distractions. And I think we could all do that for 3 weeks. I think we could. And so we're going to take the power of unity, the power of focus, the power of corporate faith, corporate prayer, and corporate fasting, and we are going to cry out to God for our city and the suburbs that surround our city. Paul told Timothy, who was pastoring there in Ephesus, he said, I urge you, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I urge you, first of all, pray for all people. And of course, he's talking about the people where his church was. He says, pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. You do not have to doubt whether or not God wants some people to be saved and some people not to be saved. Rubbish! God wants everyone to be saved, and God wants everyone to come to a knowledge of the truth. God doesn't ordain some people to live in darkness and die. No, God wants everyone, for God so loved the world. And this is the prayer. Pray for the city. Pray for the people, because you know that God wants everyone everywhere to be saved and to understand the truth. So this is a fast of intercession on behalf of all the people of Penrith. It's for the youth of our city. It's for the aged and the infirm and the vulnerable, for young families, for singles, for men and women and mothers and fathers, for our first responders, for the police and firefighters and ambulance services, for our schools and our teachers and our principals, for our doctors and our nurses and our hospitals, and for our mayor and our council members, for the homeless and the hopeless and the abused and used, for the sick and the infirm, for the addicted and the afflicted, for the mentally ill, for the depressed, for the oppressed. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf, Paul says. This is good. This pleases God, our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. God, help our city. God, save our city. That is the focus of our fast this year. A church turning its focus outward, outside these doors, to our city, a church who happens to be in a suburb called Orchard Hills. And here we are on this sort of hill, kind of like Mount Pleasant, whatever. Somebody had a high opinion of altitude when they named all these places around here. But so to speak, here we are. You cannot even come into Penrith, at least down the M4 you can't, without coming right past this lighthouse on the corner property of the new 8-lane road in front of us called the Northern Road that's going to take 500 years to finish or whatever. But as you come into this city, you have to come under this lighthouse into this city. And we as a church, we as a church are focusing for these 21 days of fasting for our city and our suburbs. God, save our city. In Jeremiah chapter 29, we read verses 4 through 7, as the people of Israel were now going to be moving into Babylon, into a place where they didn't necessarily, you know, want to be. Just like there's another place for us to live. It's called heaven. But this is a temporal place they were going to. But here's what God said to Jeremiah the prophet. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to all the captives that he has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. Build homes and plan to stay. Plant gardens, eat the food they produce, marry and have children, then find spouses for them so that you may have many, 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 many grandchildren. Who have felt that? Multiply, do not dwindle away, and work for the peace and the prosperity of the city where I send you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. We are fasting and praying and believing that this will be a breakthrough year for the people of Penrith. Yeah. that this will be a breakthrough year for the suburbs around us. When we focus and fast together, we release heaven over our city and we release heaven over our suburbs. I believe as we do this together as a church, shackles will fall off the precious people that live near us, the people around us, strangers that we don't know and neighbors that we do know. In Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 6, God says, "Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke." This is what we want to do as we pray and as we fast and as we gather here in the church services through the week. Another modern translation says, the kind of fasting I want is this: remove the chains of oppression and the yoke of injustice, and let the oppressed go free. So a fast and a focus to loose bonds, to undo burdens, to release the oppressed, and family, to stand in the gap for our city. In Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30, God said, "I looked for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. I searched for someone to stand in the gap. I looked for an intercessor. I looked for someone who would stand on behalf of others." Who would do that? Who would stand in the gap? And I believe our Daniel fast this year is the time for you and me as a church family to stand in the gap for our city and to rebuild the walls of righteousness. You know, when Daniel set himself to fast, heaven and earth and angels moved. We read in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 2. "In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning." We know that he was fasting as we read the context. 3 full weeks. "I ate no pleasant food. No meat or wine came into my mouth. Nor did I anoint myself at all till three whole weeks were fulfilled." And so this Daniel fast, it was not a fast from food. It was a fast from the enjoyment of food. In other words, the distraction of eating was the distractions. We just moved them away. Daniel did not go on a no food fast. He went on a no pleasant food fast for 3 weeks. Daniel basically had no meat and no sweet. He ate plain food and he drank water for 3 weeks. The Message Bible says it like this: For 3 weeks, I ate only plain and simple food, no seasoning or meat or wine. I neither bathed nor shaved until the 3 weeks were up." Hey, I want to give you a pass on the bathing. I plan on bathing. Now, I mean, you don't have to if you don't want to, but you're probably going to be sleeping alone. Just saying, this fast of Daniel was a powerful, effective fast that God honored, and we still read about it today, and it still becomes an example and a challenge for us today. From the 28th of January until the 17th of February, I believe God is calling us as a church family to again do a Daniel fast, to begin our year, as Belinda was sharing this morning, where we refocus. We lay down the everyday distractions on purpose. We just start turning stuff off so some other stuff can get turned up and turned on in our heart. I believe that God has directed us to do something that will be powerful for the people of Penrith. Penrith. Everybody say Penrith. I believe God has directed us to cry out for our city and to stand in the gap of intercession and intervention for our city. This year, we fast for our city and our suburbs. And we're not fasting food. We're fasting the enjoyment of food for a period of time for the people of Penrith. Why are you doing this? For the people of Penrith. So who should do this? We ask this question every year that we do this fast. Obviously, not everyone can do this. Some people's health situation or circumstantial situation does not permit it. And no one should fast without a doctor or medical expert's approval, but you still can turn your phone and television off, and you don't need a doctor's approval to do that. So this fast is for those who can, and it's for those who will. And those who can't are released and free to do whatever they feel they could or should do. We're not up here with the law. We're just here to set a course and set an example. And no one is judged. No one is judged. Again, this is a corporate 21-day fast. This is not a private fast where Jesus said that we should call that kind of a fast in secret. But this is a called fast where we stand and pray and fast together. A Daniel fast, a partial food fast. It's a fast where we continue to eat and sustain our strength. We don't give up eating and drinking. We give up the enjoyment and the pleasure of eating and drinking, and we focus. And this year, our focus is on our city and on our suburbs. We'll meet here at the church like we have been doing through the years on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. Last year, we had amazing, powerful times. We meet here for an hour. I know it's busy time, but we're just eliminating a lot of things so that we can lay hold of some other things. And so on Monday night and Tuesday night and Thursday night from 7 to 8 o'clock, we'll come here together. There'll be praise, there'll be some preaching, and there'll be prayer as we gather together. Last year, they were the best meetings we've ever had in our prayer time, in our fast time. And I think this year we'll go even to another level. Wouldn't it be wonderful if for these 3 weeks, on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, we had 200 or 300 people show up for an hour every evening? Why couldn't that happen? As we pray for Penrith, as we pray for our city, as we pray for our suburbs, as we pray for Glenmore Park and Emu Plains and Cranebrook and Cambridge Park and St. Mary's and all around us here in Orchard Hills. What could happen? Again, the tenet of this fast is that we eat bland food, drink water, give up the enjoyment of drink and food for 3 weeks as we focus on others and as we eliminate distractions out of our life. It's what could we lay down for 3 weeks so that we could give ourselves to God's word, we could give ourselves to prayer and fasting together. You know, vegetables and rice and beans and grains and raw nuts that are very bland. The rule of thumb on this fast is if it's bland, it's grand. This is how we do it. But truthfully, everyone is free to vary this in any way you feel appropriate. Amen. So fast as you see fit. Pray for Penrith. And read together our daily devotion. The devotion is out there. It's been written by our leaders, all of our campuses, our locations. Together, we could just read through each of the 21 days together in the fast. We could do that and then attend right here our corporate prayer meetings. Fast as you see fit. Pray for our city and our suburb. Read through the daily devotion. Maybe amp up your Bible reading during those days because you're turning down your other things. And then attend with us on 3 times a week our services here. In Mark chapter 2 and verse 19, Jesus said, "Can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days." Jesus was speaking of himself as the bridegroom. So Daniel's fast not only shook his nation, it shook history. It moved angels into combat. It bound kings in the spirit realm. It established future prophecies. And we want to see our city and our suburbs saved because that's what God wants to see. He wants everyone, everywhere to be saved. We want to see God move in the lives of our friends and our family and our community. And while you're fasting, why don't you fast for the people in your office or the people in your class or the people in your neighborhood? And just as we fast for Penrith, as we fast for our city and our suburb, why couldn't you also include everyone that you work with or everyone you work near into this fast, and you're fasting for them as well? We set ourselves apart for this purpose. And what's so beautiful about this is that it is very, very selfless. How many reckon it's good for Christians to be selfless? I'm grateful for all the good things, and our fasts in the past have been things, promises we've been holding on to, and all of this, and it's wonderful, and it's true. But this year, this is a raw, unadulterated, not about me fast. This is a fast for a city, and this is a fast for the people of our city and our suburbs. We all know what Jesus gave up for us. We all know he died for us. We all know he laid his life down for us. And yet we read in 1 John 3:16, not John 3:16, but the epistle 1 John 3:16, we read, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives." This is love. This is love, that he laid down his life for us. And this is also love, that we also would lay down our lives for our city, for others, for those near us. And so we're going to, for 21 days, as it were, lay something of our lives down for others. We are going to have such an outward others fast, a burden fast for others, others in need, through prayer and through fasting. And so, everyone that can, for a 21-day Daniel fast from the 28th of January to the 17th of February, meeting here at the church on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. Bland food, if it's bland, it's grand. Distractions, what can you eliminate? What can you turn off? What can you, it's, you know, the other thing, when we go through a season like this where we eliminate all the distractions, I find that at the end of a season like that, it makes me reevaluate what I want to add back on. You know, it really does. It just helps me rethink. You know, I live pretty good without Twitter for that length of time, or Facebook for that length of time. Obviously, you do what you do. You do you, okay? But I'm just saying it's a great time to set some things down that are not so important, that we may embrace other things that are very, very important. And I love this church's heart. This church has always had a heart for others. Through our missions, through our giving, through our outward focus, I don't know of a church more selfless. I really don't. And so I think this fast suits us. I think probably right now as I'm speaking, there's a witness being witnessed in many, many, many people's hearts saying, this is right, and I'm going to be a part of this, and I'm going to fast with our church for our city, and I'm going to give up some distraction in my life. So what I'd like us to do right now, just for the next few moments, just for a few minutes, could we just stand together as we just think for a few minutes about our city, about Penrith, about the people of our city. And our team's coming. Thank you, team. And I just want us to consider the suburb you live in, the suburb, the lower Blue Mountains, and where we are. And we gather from a lot of different suburbs right here in Orchard Hills. But I am praying and believing for our city this year, and that we would be a blessing to our city as a church like we have never been before. Thank God for West Care and the things that we're able to do and the chaplains that we have in our schools and the places that we're working right now and that we're involved in. But I could just see this getting amped up so that God's goodness and God's kindness could flow to our city from us. But it would begin almost as it were in our own closet as a church. Our city doesn't even know. Our city wouldn't even have a clue that for 21 days, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in all of our services, all across our church, that hundreds of us would be praying and fasting for. They wouldn't even know. Police officers wouldn't even know. The homeless wouldn't even know that we are praying and we are pressing in. And so I want us right now to have just a moment of prayer, just a little foretaste, just a little kick into this. I know it's a little over a week away. Pastor Allison, I'm going to ask you to come up here. I'm going to ask you to take your microphone, and I'm going to ask you to lead us in prayer for the children. I know that's a real burden on your heart. And Kay, I'm going to ask you to come right up here And I know that your heart, you care for the elderly in our city. You're a chaplain in our city, and you have such a heart. You see devastating things all the time. I'm going to ask these two ladies, one after the other, to pray as we just right now in this service, we're thinking about this fast, and I've just got about 5 minutes and we're finished here. But I want us right now to begin to think, and let's right now think about boys and girls and children throughout Penrith, Kingswood, Warrington Downs, throughout Mount Pleasant, Cranebrook. Let's think about children, boys and girls, many of those children without a father in the house, many of those children confused, many of those children going through some dire situations. Pastor Ali, lead us in prayer.
Father, you see the children. You see the children, Father. You said that their angels always see the face of the Father. And so, God, you see them and you know them by name. And you see the situations that they're in. You see them without you and without life. You see them in brokenness. You see them in abuse. You see them, Father, with confusion and anxiety and every kind of label that there can be. You see children that have great families, and you see children that are completely devastated. But God, without you, they have no life. Your word says that those who have the Son have eternal life, and those who do not have the Son do not have life. It's that simple. And God, we've got children in this city who have never heard your name, not ever in their life. They've never heard about you. God, they're completely unreached. And God, we're crying out, Jesus, we're crying out that they would hear you, that they would know you, that they would discover the wonder of who you are and the love that you have for them, that they would know that there is a God in heaven who sees them, who knows them, who loves them, and who died for them. God, that they would know that they could walk every day with a Father who loves them more than they can imagine. Father, that they would know that you are there for them. And God, they would commit their lives to you and surrender to you and live lives that are pure and holy and right and strong and true and full of love and joy and peace and wonder. God, we're crying out for our city and for our children and our young people.
Yes,
Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Jesus, draw them.
Yes.
And Jesus, send us.
Yes.
Send us. God, where we've got an open door into our schools, send us.
Yes.
God, while we have the opportunity, send us. Father, use us.
Yes.
Let us not walk past them.
Yes.
Let us see them.
Yes.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Yes. Thank you, Allie. And Kay, there's the other end of that spectrum. We have the shut-in. We have the elderly. We have the lonely, the desperately lonely, the untouched. They've not been loved or touched. We have those in dire situations on the other end of that. Lead us in prayer, please.
Our loving Father, we thank you that you are the God who values everybody. Our Father God, we thank you that to you an older person has value, despite what they feel about themselves or what they're told or what the community regards, that they are worthless and can be disposed of.
Oh.
Our Father God, we thank you that you are raising up people who are bringing back to our attention that you are a God who values all people.
Yes.
And so, Father, the lonely, the desperate, those who have one foot on the threshold to an eternity where they'll meet you for the first time and not know who you are. Lord, we pray that we will take your name and your love and your grace to them.
Yes.
Lord, make us vessels to not walk past, but to regard every person as a person who has been created in your image.
Yes.
And who has value in your sight.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord God, that your word says, even the Father sees a sparrow fall, and yet we have much more value than a sparrow.
Yes.
Father, we thank you that you have called us to love you and to serve you. And now, Lord God, may it be that we don't hold that all to ourselves, but that we take that out. And Lord, that we might be your people for this time and this season, where we go to those who are desperate and lonely, those who have been rejected for whatever reason, and we share your love and bring them into the kingdom so that they might know that the Lord Jesus died on the cross for them and that they have an equal place in eternity with him. Praise your holy name, Lord God. Amen.